You know, I told you a couple weeks ago that I was blessed to be in a church that loves God and loves people. I mean, you are a people who just love to sing to the Lord. You know, I've received several comments from people saying how good the praise team is doing and how they really feel that they feel like they are learning how to worship the Lord in a biblical sense. So I want you right now, I want to just give everyone who's on the praise team, whether they were on it today or any other time, just give them a hand right now, because they do a good job. But you see, music in and of itself is not worship. Worship is what you do with the music. I mean, there is a power within music, both positively and negatively. You see, music drives things more deeply inside of us. I mean, when a person listens to music, there will be results in that person's life. I mean, if the music is righteous, then the fruits of the listener will be righteousness. If the music is not righteous, then the fruit of the listener, of course, is obvious. You know, I tried to make a commitment to God to not listen to music that doesn't glorify God. Now, notice I didn't say I wouldn't listen to any secular music, but the reason why is I believe that there are some songs out there by some secular bands that are really pretty good. But in that same thought, there are a lot of things that are real bad. I mean, I simply want to make a commitment to not listen to music that does not glorify God. And that's not easy. I mean, folks, I'm begging you maybe to sit down and go through the music that you listen to on a daily basis. I think you'll be shocked to see what it's actually promoting. Oh, you might say that music really doesn't affect people's behavior. Say that to a number of people that are in prison now who have admitted to having been influenced by their music, maybe to do the bad things, to kill their parents, to steal from people at gunpoint, and maybe even to sell drugs to make an extra buck. You know, there's a book written by Phil Chalmers called I Don't Listen to the Lyrics. Yeah, we can keep telling ourselves that. No, actually, the book talks about how the lyrics does play an influence on our lives, how we do, how it does affect us. But now we kind of discussed how music influences people negatively. Now let's look at how it influences us positively. See, music, it can draw us closer to the Lord. It helps us to memorize. I mean, for example, you remember when you're a kid, or even our kids today, you learn the 12 apostles' names because they're to music. Or the New Testament. Remember the song that you sang with the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke. No, I'm not going to do it because it'd be not so good to your ears. But even the Psalms, when we sing some of the Psalms today in worship, and we can learn them. You know, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I mean, kids learn stories by music. You know, they say one reason why music is so powerful is because we use both sides of our brain, one side for music and the other side for the words. Maybe that's where they get split track. No, just kidding. But no, God knows that's what's going. God knows that what goes in comes out. I mean, that's why we are encouraged to read the Bible, to pray, to fast, to sing. We are told whatever is pure, holy, just of good cheer, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Now, one of the points that I've tried to make the last couple of weeks that music is important, but it's more than just singing. See, you as a person need to take the song and sing it to the Lord. I mean, that's what worship is. It's when we're singing it to the Lord, giving Him praise. Now, I also want us as a church to see the importance of instruments. You know, God loves instruments, and He loves the people who want to serve Him by playing them. I mean, We have a great band that plays the guitar, the piano, the keyboard. We even had a fiddle in the band today. We must be in Texas. No. But no, I mean, isn't that great? Wouldn't it be awesome, to have a horned instrument, you know, playing the flute? Or, sometimes we have the, I call it the djembe, or the djemba, but it's the djembe, you know. I mean, we have different instruments. And if you play an instrument and you want to play it for the Lord, get a hold of Tim and say, hey, I want to be a part of the praise team. And I know some of you probably have some instruments that you play really well, you just don't want to share it with us. And so I want to encourage you to do that. But yes, instrument is it's great. You know, someone came to an elder one time to complain about the instruments and the songs that they were singing and that were being sung. The elder said, oh, what was it that you don't think the Lord enjoyed? You see, as long as we're playing for Him and playing for Him and to Him, I believe it is a sweet sound in His ear. You know, the most important thing about Christian music is that Jesus Christ is praised. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's if the song is rock and roll or Bach or country. If Jesus Christ is glorified in the lyrics, then the song is good. So I sing on Sunday morning. What about Tuesday afternoon? You know, Psalms 150 tells us, praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of trumpets. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the string and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that verse 1 of that psalm tells us where to praise. It tells us to praise in the sanctuary. Praise in the mighty heavens. Verse 2 tells us why to praise. I mean, we praise because of His acts of power. Praise Him because of His surpassing greatness. You know, we're even told how to praise. I mean, praise with singing, trumpets, playing the harp, the lyre, even dancing. I promise you, I won't get up here and dance. But we praise the Lord. You know, God doesn't limit it and say only those of you who sing well praise the Lord. He said everything that has breath. And I'm glad of that because I love to sing. I sing all the time. Now, people around me wish I wouldn't. But yet, I'm singing to the Lord. But how can music help us as Christians? Well, first of all, music can change my attitude. You know, in the Old Testament, we're told that in the latter years of his reign, King Saul turned away from God. And so God left Saul, and this evil spirit moved in. The result was that King Saul was driven nearly to the point of madness. And one of his counselors told him that he knew of a young man whose singing might just help relieve his burden. And that is how David came to sing in King Saul's courts. And we're told that when David would take his harp and play, then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. You see, music can change our attitudes. You know, I remember hearing a testimony from a lady one time. I remember her telling me that she heard a message like this. She went to work where she hated going and always felt depressed. And she simply turned her radio station to a Christian station, and everything changed. She said she didn't feel depressed anymore. She was able to get more work done, and she actually started to enjoy going to work. I mean, it had changed her attitude. See, by singing and praising, praying and praising God, she has risen above her circumstances and allowed God's Spirit to work in her. You know, we have the beauty of Caleb that we listen to. We can listen to Christian radio station, and if you listen to it, you hear stories, you hear testimonies all the time of people listening to it, and it the the music just changed their life, their circumstance. I mean, they're going through a bad time. They just don't know how to hold on to. And all of a sudden, a song was played that changed what they're going through. It was comforting. You know, I actually heard one testimony where someone was going through a tough time, and they were calling a country radio station, and somehow it called Caleb, and she was able to be able to talk. She was actually going through a hard time and was thinking about committing suicide, and the music that are the people that she talked to, I mean, just counseled with her and stuff. I mean, what a difference that things like that change our life. But that brings me to my second point. See, music not only changes you, music can give you the power to take control of your circumstances. See, ordinarily, we don't control our circumstances. They control us. You know, life can get us down. People can be cruel. We can end up being imprisoned by circumstances. But we don't have to be. I mean, in Acts chapter 16, we read that Paul and Silas, they were in the city of Philippi, and they had been preaching and healing and casting out demons. I mean, something about what they were doing upset the authorities, and the town magistrate had them beaten with rods, thrown into the inner part of the prison, and placed in stocks. I mean, that wasn't right. This wasn't fair. This was unjustly cruel. And yet, in Acts 16, verses 25 to 26, it tells us that at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. See, what had happened to Paul and Silas wasn't right. It wasn't fair. If this type of thing would have happened to us, I would dare say that we would have filled despair or frustration or maybe even rage. I mean, how dare anyone treat us like that? But in short, conditions like these could have overwhelmed people like you and me. But Paul and Silas were not overwhelmed. They were not beaten down or defeated. See, what had happened to them wasn't right, yet they refused to be controlled by their circumstances. I mean, they faced the unfairness of what they experienced, and they focused on God. I mean, they used singing and prayer as a tool to escape the control of their captors. They may have been physically inside a prison, but they chose to be mentally in the presence of their Savior. I mean, those who have mistreated them could chain their bodies, but not their souls. I mean, their singing and prayers gave them the power to rise above their circumstances. Now, when you and I sing to God, when we surround ourselves with music that glorifies God, we are actively putting ourselves into the very presence of God. And God literally lifts us up and changes both us and our circumstances. But it all starts when we surrender. You know, I've had a couple of people tell me that they have always felt like raising their hands to the Lord while they're worshiping, and they have, and it's great. But then they ask, why does it feel so good? Why is that? You know, I told them a couple reasons. You know, first of all, what is the universal sign of a person surrendering? Raising your hands. You know, what does a child do when he wants daddy to pick him up? You know? Well, third, singing gives us a tool to teach and witness with. You know, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, one of the most overlooked aspects of Paul and Silas, their experience in prison, was that as they were praying and singing hymns to God, the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I don't think that Paul and Silas intended to have others listen to them as they sang, but it would be a little hard to miss, don't you think? I mean, here these two have been beaten without mercy. They've been placed in the deepest, darkest, most forbidden corner of the prison. And they've been placed in stocks, which were generally not designed for comfort. I mean, as far as the other prisoners were concerned, these men would have been expected to maybe howl in protest, curse in rage, or maybe even suffer in silence. But these men were crazy. I mean, they were singing praises to God. You'd have thought that this was a church service, not a dungeon cell. But they weren't crazy. I mean, these men were so in love with Jesus that even in prison, they sang his praises. And because they did this naturally, they literally witnessed by their singing. See, the voices reached the cells of other prisoners and the ears of the jailer who had locked them into their cells. This witness was so strong that when the ground shook beneath them, beneath the floor of the prison that night, the jailer, he came to them. He asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And then the jailer, he took those two Christians to his home where Paul and Silas, they taught the jailer and his family what they should believe about Jesus. And that very night, Paul and Silas baptized the Philippi jailer and his family into Christ. But do you think that Paul and Silas thought as they were being stripped, beaten, and dragged down into the worst part of the prison, how they'd be going to lead someone to the Lord tonight and baptize them? No, they were singing because they knew that worshiping God changed their attitude and their circumstance. See, singing is a powerful tool for witnessing. You know, I recently read a true story of a young man in India who had been to a missionary school near his home. Now, among other things, he received food and a place to sleep, and he spent time in the children's classes. But one day, as the boy was walking down the street, he was loudly singing one of the songs he'd heard at the mission. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Now, other children heard him, and they asked him to sing the whole song to them. And when he did so, they asked him, "Well, who is this Jesus? And what is this book called the Bible? What was it?" The boy, he told them he didn't know, but he took the whole group back to the mission where they heard the story for themselves. And many of them became Christians because one little boy witnessed to them in a song that he didn't even understand himself. He didn't understand the words to. See, music is a powerful tool. I mean, it changes us. It can change our circumstances. And it can change the lives of the people around us. But there are people who don't like to sing. I mean, they come to believe that their singing is an embarrassment. They find themselves identifying with a three-year-old who's saying, I love you, Lord, and I lift my nose. You know, instead, we're supposed to lift our voices. See, the question this morning is not whether you can sing, but whether you have a song to sing. See, if you don't belong to Jesus, you don't yet have a reason to sing. That's why we offer an invitation at the end of every service. And remember, God's favorite music is not bluegrass or country or even rock and roll. God's favorite music is anything that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And nothing would bring him greater honor than for you to come back to him this morning and maybe repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness and salvation. I mean, that would be music to his ears. That is why music changes us. That is why there is a benefit to our worship. It's because we're coming to God. We're coming to Him because He is the great Savior. He is the one who loved us. He is the one who gives us breath. He's the one that makes everything possible. Pray with me. Father, we do come to you today on this glorious day that we call Sunday, a day that we come to you and we sit in this room and we give you praise and we sing songs to you. and we listen to music that glorifies you. But Father, we do this because you deserve it. We do this because when we give you the glory and praise and we recognize you and submit to you, it changes us. It changes our circumstance. Father, I pray that as we live our lives every day, not just on Sunday, Father, that as we listen to the radio, that we listen to music that glorifies you, that will give you praise. Because, Father, that is how we want to live our lives. We want to be influenced by your word. We want to be influenced by your music, by your love. But yet, Father, I pray right now that all of our worship is a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. But we do this because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.